This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.TV. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Wednesday, November 22nd, and somehow the day before Thanksgiving. Where does the time go? Jeffrey Flanagan, that's who joins us today for the Royals podcast here on MLB.com. And, Jeffrey, we thank you as always for the time. What I want to do today is I want to run down some guys on the 2018 Hall of Fame ballot and some guys that wore Royals uniforms for a number of years. And chief among them, Johnny Damon, again, one of the many names on the 2018 Hall of Fame ballot, but a guy that's not on next year's ballot but is going to be in 5 years' time is that of Carlos Beltran. He recently announced his retirement after finally getting that elusive World Series ring in his 20th and final season with the Houston Astros. And, of course, when you look at Beltran's career, Jeffrey, seven of the 20 seasons spent in a Kansas City uniform that is tied with the Mets for his longest tenure of any of the five teams that he played for during his two-decade career. So I want to ask this question first. You look at Beltran, you look at the body of work. Do you feel that he is one day a Hall of Famer?
I do. I can't see a scenario where I don't vote for him. I think he was just an all-around, you know, great player, especially in his prime. When he was here in Kansas City, I got to know him very well, and I just thought, you know, he was a five-tool player. He could steal a base. He could, you know, triples, home runs, hit for average, get on base. And really, I'm trying to think of a center fielder. I mean, Lorenzo Cain, obviously, a terrific center fielder that we've watched here for the last several years. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody as smooth defensively as Beltran was in his prime. It just kind of just one of those guys who glided the ball. And it would have been interesting to see if we had had StatCast way back then, you know, how good he was. And I just think I think he's a terrific ball player. I think he's got the numbers. I do think he gets in.
The 1999 AL Rookie of the Year way back when was Carlos Beltran, and making his big league debut with the Kansas City franchise. And, you know, Jeffrey, when you look at prospects these days, you've got your guys that are, you know, they're hyped all the way up to the moon, and maybe they fall a little bit short when they get to the major leagues. Then you've got guys on the other end of the spectrum that maybe they're a bit under the radar, and they surprise people when they get to the big league level. Then you got that third category that, you know, they definitely live up to the hype, and they are every bit as good as a big leaguer as they were as a prospect down on the pipeline. So of those three designations, I guess, where would you have put Beltran back in 1999?
I thought was a can't-miss prospect just because he had all the tools, and he lived up to those expectations. He was you know, Royals fans still remember him fondly, and you know, he went on to have a great career elsewhere too. And he was just one of those prospects that we knew was coming up, and the organization hyped him as a can't miss, and they were dead on.
Yeah, they certainly were. And I think, you know, as good as he was in the regular season, he really made his bones as a postseason presence. I believe for his career, an OPS over 1,000 in the postseason. That is virtually unheard of. Yeah, I mean, we see so many guys that they get to the big stage and they shrink and they come up short. Beltran, no such worries. He was always clutch in the postseason, and that is another feather in his cap in his Hall of Fame candidacy. So, Jeffrey, I guess question two is, you know, we're pretty much all in agreement that one day he will be inducted into Cooperstown. But again, it's hard to kind of identify him with just one team because he played for five. He had 7 years with the Royals, 7 years with the Mets, and then, of course, you know, winning a ring with the Astros. He had some short tenures with the Giants and the Cardinals in between. So what cap do you see on that Hall of Fame plaque for Carlos Beltran one day?
Oh, that's a really toughie. I wish I had some inside information for you, Matt, but I just don't. Who knows what goes through the minds of guys? I mean, he got his start here. There's certainly a hash been here. And, you know, interesting, about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a lot of talk about him coming back to Kansas City, and I know he really wanted to, and they just couldn't make the numbers work. But, you know, he even visited here during that winter. So I wouldn't be shocked if he wanted to go in as a Royal.
Yeah, I think that would please a lot of people, as, of course, he spent the first 7 years of his career in Kansas City. And I guess that's one – you kind of answered this already, but that was one thing I always wondered, if he departed Kansas City on bad terms, if there was any, you know, bad blood or ill will, or was it, you know, pretty much a thing where, like you said, he always kind of wanted to come back. So I guess, you know, is that how Royals fans kind of regard him, as maybe one that got away a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a different period of Royals baseball back in the early 2000s. You know, they were hurting financially. Ownership had just over the new ownership in the Glass family. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of solid direction in terms of where the team was going. And they had a lot of great offensive young players. You're talking about Mike Sweeney and Miranda and Damon and Beltran and Jermaine Dye. I mean, they hit a lot then, but I think everybody in their back of their mind knew, as a small market team, that they weren't going to be able to keep these guys, and they had to get as much as they could for them. And, you know, they maybe not got as much as for some of those guys that the Royals fans had hoped for, but, you know, it's just one of those things where it was inevitable that he was going to have to leave, and I don't think there was any hard feelings on either side.
Yeah, and that's certainly good to know, as that decision will one day come down as to what cap he wears when being inducted into Cooperstown. Certainly time will tell. And, Jeffrey, as you just brought up, another one of the names, as, you know, Beltran was emerging as a superstar in his early years with the Royals, that of Johnny Damon. He, of course, is on the 2018 Hall of Fame ballot, along with some other notable names on there, Chipper Jones, Omar Vizquel, Jim Thome, among those. And I think most people agree that, you know, Johnny would be a long shot, at least, you know, for this year's ballot. But here's a number I want to kind of throw at you and the Royals fans that I found very interesting. Only 11 players in baseball history have 200 career home runs and 400 career stolen bases. Johnny Damon is one of those 11. That's some pretty exclusive company. Some Hall of Famers, including Joe Morgan, Paul Molitor, Robin Yount, on that list. So, you know, again, no small feat to be in a group like that. Could you one day see Johnny Damon getting inducted into the Hall?
Possibly. I agree with you. It's an interesting case. I mean, it's when you look at it right off the bat, it looks like it's marginal. You know, then you look deep from the numbers, over 2,700 hits I think he had. And you mentioned the stolen bases. To me, pop out, the home runs. Good on-base guy, not a great defender, not a great arm. But I always look at, you know, when I turn in my Hall of Fame ballot each year, I always look at, did that guy dominate the game for a certain period of time, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, whatever. Was he the dominant force? And, you know, that's a question I'll have to, you know, ask myself and think about, you know, when I turn in my ballot this year about Johnny Damon. And maybe someday he gets in. Like I said, I think it's definitely a long shot this year.
Yeah, I certainly agree. But, you know, like you said, when you look at the entire body of work, some things definitely jump out that maybe at first glance they don't quite catch your eye. But when you really look at the entire scope, the entire ball of wax, you say to yourself, you know what? You know, this guy might have a chance. And one thing I want to ask you, it's, you know, you can ask 10 different writers their opinions on Hall of Fame credentials and candidacies, and you'll get 10 different answers. But the answer I want to get, obviously, is yours on this. Johnny Damon, obviously a two-time world champion, 2004 with the Red Sox, 2009 with the Yankees. And yes, you know, he was one of 25 guys, but when you look at a resume, do those things really jump out in terms of, you know, obviously this is an individual honor, but when you've got the two rings and with two franchises like the Red Sox and Yankees, no less, could that boost his chances even a little bit?
I think anybody, any voter, including myself, who said they don't is probably lying, because postseason, you know, does matter to me. I mean, whether it's subconscious or not, I mean, it just does. And, you know, he was on those championship teams. Now, I will say that it's not like, you know, there were rags to riches stories with the Yankees and Red Sox. So He had a lot of a big payroll around him too. But with a guy like that, you know, in the back of your mind, you might think of that, but you certainly you're going to look at his regular season stats first.
Yeah, and that usually is the one that tells the tale. But like you said, anybody that says that the rings don't matter, probably lying through their teeth. So we'll see if someday that does give Johnny Damon a bit of a nudge for his chances to get into Cooperstown. And, Jeffrey, as we come down the home stretch here, of course, this is not news, but the trio of Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, and Lorenzo Cain each expectedly turning down their qualifying offers from the Royals for the 2018 season. They're all now free agents. So I guess when you look at the three, you know, there's been chatter that, you know, they're likely out the door, but there's a possibility that maybe one guy could come back in a multi-year deal. Could you see that happening with any one of these three, or are they, in your mind, as good as gone?
Well, I the more this goes on, I start to think they're probably good as gone. But if there's one guy, and I've been saying this for since last spring training, if there's one guy they're going to go after and charge after, it's going to be Eric Hosmer. And I just don't, we still don't know what the market is for him. We don't know what the Yankees' interest, the Red Sox, whoever, whatever big market team can come in and, you know, outbid the Royals. I will say this much, though, too. If they don't get him, I really don't see them making a strong effort at anybody else. I think Eric Hosmer is the type of guy that, as they go through this transition and rebuild, that he's the perfect guy to have in the clubhouse for 5 or 7 years to help young guys learn the game of baseball and learn how to conduct themselves, you know, inside the clubhouse and on the field. He's the perfect teammate. He's really, for this market, he's probably the perfect player, but I just don't know if they can afford him. And if they can't, I think they pitch it and go with a total rebuild. And it's going to be painful for fans around here, but I think it's probably necessary. They made a great effort. Management did all they could. Ownership did all they could last year to let this group have one more run. They beefed up the team at the trade deadline. It didn't pan out. They faded down the stretch. So I think ownership and management is looking more and more like, hey, let's look to the future. Let's get as many draft picks as we can. Let's restock the farm system, take our lumps for the next 2 or 3 years, and be competitive again down the road.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, as painful as it potentially is for fan bases to go through this process, as the old saying goes, flags fly forever. And
they
not
do.
Every team has those, and the Royals certainly do, high above Kauffman Stadium. That reads a 2015 World Champs, and that is certainly something, like I said, that not every team has. Jeffrey, in terms of these three guys, you know, they all bring such distinctive skill sets to the Royals that they have for the past couple years. Who's going to be the toughest to replace?
I think they've got backups for Moustakas at third and Chester Cuthbert. Paulo Orlando could step in at center. They do have a couple of center fielders in the system. I still think, and I know people are going to disagree with this, I think the hardest guy to replace is going to be Eric Hosmer, not just for what he does on the field, not just for his stats, but what he does in the community, in the clubhouse, what he means as a teammate. I don't think you can replace that. And,
yeah.
You know, you can fill in Brandon Moss or Hunter Dozier as a prospect. You're going to get a drop-off in offensive numbers, obviously a big drop-off in defense. But I just think you can't replace him in the clubhouse, and that's where they're going to miss him most.
Yeah, the intangibles are so huge, and that's what Hosmer has proved for so many years. In addition to the bat and the gold glove work at first base, he's going to be quite a get for another team. Unfortunately, it does not appear as if that team is going to be the Royals in 2018. So, Jeffrey, as we wrap up here, I got to get your Thanksgiving plans. Are you staying? Are you leaving? And I guess what is, you know, everybody loves the turkey and the stuffing, that's obvious, but in terms of a Thanksgiving fixin', a side dish, what is your favorite one?
Oh, gosh. I never have it during the rest of the year, so just creamy mashed potatoes drive me crazy.
Yeah, mashed potatoes are the way to go. I'm sure that's on a lot of people's list, and hopefully you get your fill of those tomorrow along with all the other dishes on the table. Also, Jeffrey, to you and to the Royals fans, a happy Thanksgiving, and we will do this again soon for sure. Thank you so much, as always, for the time. In the meantime, Matt Waymire signing off for MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.